Mick Warhurst.
Weekdays on ABC Radio, online and on the ABC Listen app.
A recent survey by Macquarie Uni has shed light on how music may actually play a role in developing a joint identity, which in turn could support memory as people age. So what's a couple song? Do they have to be schmaltzy love songs to be a couple song? Well, we're about to find out. Dr. Celia Harris, hello.
Hi, Miff. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. What is a couple song by definition?
Well, really, we just asked people to define it for themselves. So we just asked a bunch of people, do you have a song in your relationship that you consider, you know, our song in inverted commas? And we were interested to see how much people really responded to that kind of thing, because it's kind of a cultural phenomenon. We kind of know what we mean when we say couples have a song, but no one had really looked at how common it was and how commonly people really reported it.
Do you have a couple songs, Celia? Is that something that's rude to ask? Like, does it bring up too many issues for some people? I know for me, I don't have one because there's too many partners to choose from, to be honest. I don't really want to go there.
It is a little bit touchy. And also, our survey actually showed that people who had a couple song do report higher intimacy and better quality relationships than people who don't. So that is a little bit touchy too.
That's why I failed, Celia.
Yeah, go get a song. So I do have a couple song. There's a bit of a long story behind my one too. So unlike most people in my survey who acquired a couple song within very early in their relationship, sort of within the first few months, I didn't have a couple song with my husband for many years. And I think maybe our musical tastes were just far too wildly divergent for there to be any sort of common ground there. But on our wedding day, we acquired a couple song. Interestingly, the song that was our wedding dance, which was Nick Cave, Babe, You Turn Me On. But later on at 1 o'clock in the morning, my husband serenaded me with In Excess's Never Tear Us Apart. Oh. And that ever after has been our official couple song. So it's interesting to me that we sort of, it wasn't the one we expected, I guess, that ended up being the one that stayed with us.
It's not the one that you decide or choose. It's one that just happens by chance.
I think so. And really, like when I ask people about their couple songs, many times they were associated with those sort of significant moments in relationships where, the song becomes so tightly linked to the memory that every time you hear that song, you're taken back to that moment. So I think that's one reason that people hang on to them.
Now, let's talk about the health benefits. What did the study involve and what were you trying to understand?
So really in this first study, we were just trying to get an idea of how common it really was. So it had come up in conversation. I do a lot of work with couples and memory. And I have a colleague who is a music therapist. She's a neuropsychologist and she does work on the, you know, potential benefits of music for people who have neuropsychological conditions. So it had just kind of come up in conversation, this idea of couple songs. And when we looked for research on it, we couldn't find any. And we were curious about this. So we really just wanted to find out how common it really was. Is it really a thing for couples to have songs? And if they do, you know, what can we learn about them? And why does this happen? So, we really just surveyed a bunch of people to ask them, you know, to see how common it was for people to have the songs.
Okay. How important is a couple song when it comes to forming a shared identity? And what are the ongoing health benefits from this?
Well, It's hard to make claims, I guess, about ongoing health benefits. So we did find that, like I said, having a song is associated with better relationship quality. So people report higher intimacy in relationships where there is a song. And I also found, that people really acquired songs on average very early in relationships, typically within the first few months. And I thought that was a really curious finding because it kind of suggests that acquiring a song is sort of central to the process of becoming a couple in the first place, or it can be. So there's a lot of research showing that, you know, music is central to your own personal identity and your musical tastes are something that tells about who you are, and that you tell other people about your musical taste, you share music, you disclose musical taste as a way of sharing, you know, the kind of person that you are. So I think that can be extended to couples as well, that once we start to get, you know, joint musical tastes or joint songs that describe us as a couple, we're establishing this joint identity.
Dr. Celia Harris is with us, a lecturer in the Department of Cognitive Science at Macquarie University. We're talking about the health benefits of couple songs and that cognitive aspect we will get to in just a tick, but I thought I would play you something from Seinfeld, which is Elaine. showing and illustrating to us that you just simply can't force a couple song.
You know what you need is a song you can share.
Yeah, you're right. We need to find our song.
Okay, so is there any song that you feel very strongly about?
I like Witchy Woman.
Witchy Woman?
You know, Witchy Woman. Oh, Witchy Woman.
Ah, Witchy Woman.
What do you think? What are you doing? That's Witchy Woman. I thought it could be our song.
Witchy Woman is okay for you, but I've already got a song.
Oh, well then how about Desperado? We can share it.
No, it's mine.
You can't fake a couple song, it seems. What can we learn about music and memory through projects such as this, getting back to the cognitive aspect of it?
Well, there's a little bit of research starting to show that music can be a really powerful memory cue. So music tends to be linked to specific events and it can elicit, you know, particularly strong, vivid emotional memories. So music might be a useful memory cue in situations where somebody's starting to experience memory problems or difficulties with their memory, such as dementia or cognitive decline. So that's one reason I'm really interested in these couple songs, because if they're tightly linked to your sense of your social relationships and your sense of who you are as an individual and as a couple, they might be a really useful way of sort of helping people to get back to memories that they couldn't otherwise access.
I was thinking that. Could a couple song help for people living with dementia, help them access the past and maybe the person they loved?
Yeah, definitely. And that sense of the relationship. I mean, that's research to be done. There's obvious next steps there. But yeah, that's definitely the basis of my interest in the couple song phenomenon. It's kind of a fun, fluffy phenomenon. But, you know, I think there are also potential real benefits.
And it's not just couple songs too. Music is also proving to be something that's amazing for accessing memories, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Although the trick with, targeting memories for specific people, you know, knowing how to cue an individual's memory is that you need to target the right songs and the right music. And that's where it can get challenging because oftentimes we might not know what the right songs are or what are going to be the things that work for that individual person. So I think more work needs to be done about how we tailor and target memory cues and target music to individuals. But couple songs might provide one way that we can do that.
What about people, Celia, who don't have a couple song? What can we do if we're scared of losing our memories and don't have tools such as this?
Look, I think a couple song is only one among a myriad of tools that we have for sharing our identities and sharing our relationships. I don't think music's for everyone, you know, and people vary a lot to the extent to which they engage with music or like music. So, you know, I think there are many other ways that we can share identities, disclose who we are and share who we are with another person. So music's just one and it's a powerful one. But, you know, there are other options.
Other options. Well, what about a song for ourselves? Could we have a song for ourselves?
Yeah, and I think lots of people do, and I thought that was really funny, the clip from Seinfeld, because it kind of illustrates that tension there between a song for yourself and your identity as an individual and how you compromise that song and that identity even when you have to, you know, attach yourself to another person and kind of, you know, give a little to become part of them. And so, I think you absolutely can have a song for yourself that captures your identity, and it might be quite different and quite a different genre and style of music from the kind of song that captures your couple identity.
I'm loving the messages that are coming through now about couple songs, and I thank you for sharing and revealing, because these are pretty personal. Actually, I was joking at the start thinking it was pretty funny, but these are actually quite serious and special. Fiona's written Augie March's One Crowded Hour, which is a beautiful song. She said, "We were workmates and both had other partners when we met, and it nearly led to our wreck and ruin," which is one of the lines from the song. "However, we're still together 12 years later and it's the best thing we both ever did." More illustration there that you can't force a couple song, isn't it? It has to come out of a situation that you share, or maybe something difficult that you've bonded over. Have you found that?
Yeah, well, potentially. I did find when I asked people how they arrived at their couple song, it was really split about 50-50. So half the people said, you know, it just arose. We never talked about it, but we just know this is our song. And about the other half of people said that they sat down and had a discussion and said, you know, should this be our song? Yes, this is our song. And they agreed on it. So I think, you know, sometimes you can have an open discussion and decide on a song, but it should be one that still, you know, links closely to who you are and the things that you've done.
I've got another message here, and this has touched me because, look, if I had a couple song, I'd like it to be this one. Harvest Moon, Neil Young. It was our wedding waltz. And then as we were leaving the venue, we were the last to leave. Good, good party style. The singer was outside near her car and sang it as we walked back to our accommodation down the road. It was so lovely, says Carly. What's next for this research, Celia? What are your plans with the knowledge that you've gained and the future?
Well, I'm really interested in figuring more about how songs link to couple identity and what happens to people when they listen to their songs. So one of the curious things that I found in my research was that people really didn't report listening to their songs. So if you ask them, oh, you know, do you play it regularly just to listen to it? Most people said no. So it seems it's kind of curious. It's something about having the song that's more important to than actually listening to the song.
Yeah.
And so I really want to unpack that a little bit more and understand, you know, what songs are doing for people and for relationships in the absence of actually listening to it, how people set up their identities in terms of the song.
We've got Joe on the phone. I think Joe wants to share a couple's song. Hi, Joe.
Oh, hi, Mitch. How are you?
Good. What's yours and why?
Jim Croce's Time in a Bottle.
Time in a Bottle. Why this one?
Well, it was around the 1980s when we got married, 1984, Bad Bad Leroy Brown, which was a very zippy tune of his, was about. But we had the album and we just listened to Time in a Bottle, and we had to do a wedding waltz, and we were pretty hopeless at waltzing. And it's just such a beautiful song, and the lyrics really resonated with us. So every time we play it, we just adore it. It's a really lovely song. And Jim Croce had such a sad ending. He was such a prolific songwriter, and yeah, we just love his song. But can I just say, we just came back from Langkawi on a short holiday to celebrate our wedding anniversary, and if I hear Ed Sheeran's Perfect one more song, one more time, I think I will scream. It was played everywhere. Beautiful song, but overdone.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask that. Is it possible, Dr. Celia Harris, to cancel some couple songs if they've been used too much? Is that okay?
Absolutely. But the interesting thing, and I mean, it's really been illustrated by the people who've called in, is how idiosyncratic and unique people's couple songs are. And I find that another really curious aspect of the phenomenon. So it's not just that, you know, the song that was number one at around the time when these people were all getting together is the song that they choose, but they're so unique. So every single song that somebody's mentioned is different from the other songs. And I think that idiosyncrasy really speaks to how, you know, the songs are working to define relationships and identity for people.
Yeah. Wendy, you've got a great one. What is it?
Hi, Miss. It's not mine because my husband, he wasn't that sort of guy. So,
what is that?
But I was watching Kath and Kim on Netflix last night, and they were doing the karaoke for celebrating Kath and Kel's anniversary, and Brett got up and sang to Kim, he sang Cold as Ice. I just cracked up. It just was hilarious.
And that's foreign as Cold as Ice, isn't it?
Poor Brett.
Why did you say, Wendy, that you didn't have a couple song with your partner because he wasn't
it's not that sort of thing.
What does that mean? Just not into it, not sentimental?
No, just not that sort of romantic, sort of bit soppy time,
no. Oh, we'll get you one yet, Wendy.
Oh, but so hilarious.
Oh, too funny.
You should watch that if you get a chance, Smith. Watch that episode again.
All the Kath and Kims are now up again on streaming services. Highly recommend that to anyone. If you're looking for something to fill the space when you're really, really searching for something and you can't settle on anything, Kath and Kim is always a good bet. So
That's
thank
right.
you for that reminder.
Great.
Good on you, okay. Wendy, and good on you, Dr. Celia Harris.
Thank you.
For sharing this with us. Very interesting stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Smith.